Hashem, today we'll discuss what we call Blia Bekelim. We're going to talk about a knife that was Bolea Dam, and then he cuts food with that knife, and the Blia in the knife is Polet. So that's called Blia Bekelim. Now, by way of introduction, let's just point out that there's a Bir Agra in Yoredeya Simon Tzadi Beis. It's the Gros Sivkot Lamed Dalet, and that touches on the issue of Blia Bekelim, because he quotes the Ravan, the Shitas Ravan, and it seems that the Shulchan Aruch, at least B'Shas Hadchak, relies or falls back on the on this Ravan. So we'll, Emir Tzashem, we'll try to discuss this Ravan and make some sense out of it, if we can. Now, the thing about Blia Bekelim is that it's a little bit different than classic Blia, because in classic Blia, we're talking about a tam that goes into food, into something of substance, a be'en. It's a nechal. It's hard to call Blia a nechal. I mean, what can you eat here? If you, you know, bite into the walls of the utensil, you could just break your teeth. You know, Blia in Kalim is purely abstract. There's nothing physical, or there's no gush, there's no material substance. It's just Blia. And I think that's an important introduction here to understand the Ravan, who comes up with a kula. Now, to appreciate this Ravan, we have to go into a couple of different details or elements. For example, we're going to have to talk about min bimino, we're going to have to talk about a splashing on a cooking pot, a pot that's cooking over the fire. Did the splash go onto the bottom part of the pot where there's food cooking? Did it go on to the hit up against the top part of the pot where there's no cooking? And interesting, the way the halacha understands spillings onto pots, dafka, if it's on the lower part, if the splash hits the lower part where there's food, that's dafka kula. Now that sounds counterintuitive. You would think in that case the splashing is penetrating into the, you know, through the walls of the pot, into the contents of the pot. And if there's a splashing of Iser going into Heter, that should be more of a problem. On the top part of the pot, it should be less than a problem. There's no, it's not Kenegid Hatavshil, Kenegid Ochel. But it works just the reverse. And the reason for that is if this splashing goes directly into the kedera, then since we assume the splashing is generally a minimum amount, the volume is small, we'll call it tipas cholov, that goes into a fleshka pot that's on the fire. If the tipas cholov is kenegeda rotev, meaning there's plenty of gravy inside the fleshka pot that's cooking, then we immediately define or describe the tipas cholov as being batel in the tavshil. There's no middle stage. In contrast, if the tipas cholov goes on the top part of the kedera, and it's shalok kineged atavshil, then the tipas cholov connects with the kli, the walls of the kli, the dofnei akedera, as we call them, where there's an absorption of blia of rotev, of basar. And it's nearly impossible to get bittel in that circumstance. Maybe I'm exaggerating when I say nearly impossible, but it's certainly much, much more challenging. You know, to say that the amount of basa of rotev that's in the walls of the kli that's been absorbed is shishim keneged the splashing. We have to see if that's so. Maybe we could get shishim. I'm not sure, but it's certainly easier to imagine shishim when we can combine all the entire volume of the rotev that's cooking inside the pot. But that's only, again, in a case where the teepah falls directly on that part of the pot where there's cooking going on. That's called keneged rotev, just to get the lingo. Then there's something called shalo keneged rotev, which is on the top of the kedera. And here, as I said before, the Shulchan Aruch is going to be mekil b'shasat chak, and the Gaon points out that the Mechaber is falling back on the Ravan. So let's try to see if we can understand the Shitas HaRavan. The Ravan asks the following question, and this I think will be a very good introduction to our sugya. We have the following case, which is codified in the Shulchan Aruch. You're cooking a pot of meat, and let's talk about the rotev for a minute. You'll see why we're talking about the rotev. So we're talking about the gravy, which is called basar, it's meat, reaches a certain level in the pot. Let's, for argument's sake, just say it's halfway up the pot. And now, I don't know if you've ever had this, some milk spills on the outside of the pot. You get a splash of milk. That's called the tipas cholov. Shenofla al hakdera. Now, the halacha says that we're going to try to figure out, and again, I'm not going into all the details because I don't have all the details at my disposal, but we're going to have to figure out if there's shishim in the walls of the kedera, which are saturated with the tam of basar, against that tipas cholov. So don't ask me now how we figure that out, because that's a little bit complicated.
What if you wipe it off? Then you get them. I mean,
there's a fire going on. So right, since there's a cooking, right, immediately there's a blia. There's going to be a penetration. So even if you wipe it off immediately, it's not going to.
But you got most of the volume didn't get absorbed. Is that, I guess, my
question? That's not how the halacha sees it. The halacha sees it as that whatever splashings went on the outside of the
total volume of that is considered as a
total. That you have to be mevatel v'shishim, the total volume. The Ravan thinks that shishim is not going to help you. And even shishim is not enough. Why? What's his kasha? He has a kasha. And based on this question, he breaks new ground, which I think is very relevant to our sugya today. The Ravan's kasha is that the blia inside the walls of the kli before the milk spills on it is meat. And now the milk goes into the meat, and if the milk goes into the meat, which means the meat that's balua, then the meat itself becomes asur. Again, it's hard to talk about the meat because there is no meat in the walls of the kli. The meat is in the pot itself. But
the kadam in the walls, the tam in the walls of kedera becomes nevela.
Correct.
Right.
Why? Because it's as if you cook milk and meat together. And therefore he says, we have the following principle, that once the tam of the basar, that's balu in the kli, becomes nevela, then when that tam penetrates into the rotev that's in the kedera itself, that's cooking, it becomes min bimino. Follow this. If we wouldn't apply the principle of chaticha nasis nevela, then all we're saying is that the walls of the kli are carrying a tipas cholov. And that tipas cholov could be batel in the rotev that's cooking inside the pot. But once I convert the basar itself, the tam, into nevela,
then that tam of basa that's going now into the kli is min bimino. And min bimino is not batel. Now, again, we have to take that under advisement. Do we paskin like Rav Yehuda, like Rav, that min bimino is lo batel? I don't know. But that's his premise. And that's something that we would have to research. So based on this, the Ravan comes to the conclusion, and the Shulchan Aruch relies on this Ravan, if need be, that we don't apply Chaticha Nasis Nevela to a Tam Bolua. We only apply Chaticha Nasis Nevela to a Be'en, to an actual physical substance. So when milk gets cooked with meat, cheese and meat together, then the meat becomes Nevela. But if it's only the Blia, it's only the absorbed Tam, that Tam could not become Nevela. And what you have basically is that when this tipa, that this milk that splashed on the outside of the kli, somehow penetrates into the kli, all that's happening here is that the kli itself is just bringing the milk into the pot, into the basa, the rotev, and therefore it's min b'sheino mino. And that's why the halacha is that it can be batel b'shishim.
And it's not batel b'shishim of the pot; it's batel b'shishim of what's in the pot.
No, what I'm saying is that the tifas cholov is now being because what happens is the tifas cholov, if you hold that there's no chanan, goes directly into the rotev, and that's min b'sheino mino. You follow what I mean?
Right. So, but we're looking at so that we have to batel b'shishim is versus the contents of the pot. Not the volume of the pot itself.
Right, the pot itself we'll have to deal with, you know. I'm not sure. It could very well be that you might not have shishim against the tipas chol in the pot. I don't know. But certainly the contents of the pot are mutter, because the shishim against the tipas chol. Now, how could you have the shishim against the tipas chol when the basar itself, that's balua, becomes the vela? So comes along the Ravan, and he says, we don't say Chaticha Nasis Nevela in the case of Balua, of Tam Balua, in the Kelim. And this is going to be a tremendous kula, a leniency for many, many cases that come up when there's Blia in Kelim. For example, we're about to learn a Gemara of a knife that was used in context with Dam. It was used to sheft an animal. And as we'll soon see, the assumption is that the sakin, through the process of shkita, absorbs the tam of dam. And the Gemara is therefore going to say you can't use that sakin to cut food, because what's going to happen is the sakin has a blia of dam, and that dam is now going to go into the food. Again, we'll see all the conditions. Is the food hot, and so forth and so on. But let's take the case of a fleshika knife, you know, it's a meaty knife. You've used it for meat many, many times. And now you cut cheese with it. Now, if we assume that, let's say it's hot cheese, and there's now a blia of cheese into the knife has a blia of basa. Well, let's assume everything happened in one day so we don't get into issues about no same time with gam. So then we would say that the blia inside the knife is basa b'cholav. It's chaticha nasis nevela. And that would have tremendous repercussions when you use this knife to cut some other food. How much do you have to have in order to apply bittel? Do you need shishim against the contact between the knife and the cheese? Do you need shishim against the entire knife? And so forth and so on. According to this Ravan, there would not be Chaticha Nasis Nevela in this case, even though the Sakin now has a Blia of both Basa B'Cholav, but there's no Chanan, there's no Chaticha Nasis Nevela in Basa B'Cholav, in Blia.
You specifically made the point there of being hot cheese, or hot cheese rather than milk.
That's going to be our sugya, which I want to leave for a minute, because the word hot can mean so many different things, you know. But is it roseach? Is it yatzal lettuce? Is it bishul? Is it sli? I mean, again, the hottest word in your day is hot. I know you'll see the trucks going around with the word hot on it, but you don't know what hot means. So that's going to be for Gleaneder. That's going to be our sugya. By the way, she's listening in on the shiur, that cat.
Oh, is the cat here?
Yeah.
Another one? Oh.
I'm very mocked, but as soon as I come in, to close the door immediately afterwards, because I know the cat always wants to come in.
I like cats.
No, nothing against the cat, but
the cat tried to get in.
He lives here.
It comes in all the time.
Yeah.
In the back door.
Yeah. Right.
On the windows.
No, anyway, when I came in, it was what followed me up.
So I have here in front of me a page of someone who wrote notes during Rav Soloveitchik's class, and this transcript is not, you know, it's not 100% reliable in the sense that, you know, Rav Soloveitchik was very wary about people taking notes. But according to this transmission, Rav Soloveitchik actually wanted to explain the logic of the Ravan. Why don't we apply the principle of Hanan when you have Basar v'Chalav inside the Kli? Right, there was a blia of basar, there's a blia of chalav. So he claims the following, and I'll just read it to you. It's a pretty wild statement. He says that what is chanan? What does it mean? Chaticha nasis nevela. It means that the piece of meat that was bolea milk. Again, before we get to Kalim, I'm talking now about the classic Chaticha Nasis Nevela. That piece of meat, he says, is Machzik Esha Isur. That's the language he has here. Which literally translates that the meat is holding on to the milk. Umovilo Litoch Hakdera Shnia. And it carries that tam into the second cooking. Right? So what happened? Our Mishnah Daf Kuf Ches, right? You had a tipas chal that fell into a chatichas basar, and there was no shishim, so there's a tam of chalav in the basar. The basar itself now becomes nevela. Why? Again, when I say why, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not asking a philosophical why. I'm saying what is the mechanics of it? According to Rav Soloveitchik, the way it's recorded here, the mechanics of it is that this piece of basar is now grabbing onto the milk. Machzik, that's the word he uses. Machzik esa isur. Umovila, and it carries it now when you cook that meat into a second pot. And as a result, guilty as accused, again, that's Berzon, that doesn't say here, and therefore we're going to have to get shishim against
the
chaticha itself. But says Rav Soloveitchik, in the case of Blia, where there's no ochel at all, there's no substance, you can't say that something is holding on to the Isur and transferring it over to the second Kedera. Because what you need is something tangible that you can accuse, so to speak, of grabbing onto the Isur and transmitting it further.
Why can't you say that the walls of the pot itself are holding on to it? And that's. And you'd have to have shishim connected the walls of the pot.
Right, but we only apply the velo.
I'm saying to some
sort of an ochel. You know that. If you bite your teeth into the walls of the kli, you'll probably break a few teeth. You know, something that's an ochel can now take a tam of isur and grab onto it, and so to speak, carry it, transmit it further. It's almost like, you know, I imagine a kind of accusation in a law court, you know, let's say in the court, you know, somebody's being accused of a criminal crime here. Chaticha nasis nevela means that this chaticha is being accused of a crime. It grabbed onto the Isur and then transmitted it further. And therefore we need shishim against the entire chaticha. And Rav Soloveitchik goes on to say that he doesn't believe that chaticha nasis nevela means heter nefach lios iser. The classic understanding of chaticha nasis nevela is called heter nefach lios iser. That the basar, once it receives the tam, let's say the tam of chalav or the tam of nevela in the first cooking, and again, when I say nevela, I'm going according to the Shita Satosus, that chaticha nasis nevela applies straight across the board to all Isurim. It doesn't mean that basar, because, and that basar was shefted properly, it's basar shchuta, it doesn't mean that heter now transforms itself into Isur. It still remains Basar Heter. But what? It's carrying Iser in it. And as a result of the fact that it carries the Iser and transmits it further, it's kind of like in a relay race, you know, when I pass the baton. Right. If I pass the baton on, then I am guilty as accused. And you now, need Shishim now against the entire piece of Basar.
But if I recall, there were two opinions as to whether the Chatifa itself can become Mutter again, whether there's a...
Oh, you mean Efshel Sotto.
Right, Efshel Sotto. So they were, because the way, if it itself does, is still Heter, just carrying something, then that implies it, Efshel Sotto.
So then we're going to have to say that Efshel Sotto is a question whether it's possible. Mm-hmm. Can we really guarantee ourselves that we can... what's the word? Punch? Not punch. What's
expunge.
Expunge. That we can expunge the ta'am in a cooking. You know, just simply by cooking it, we're going to expunge the ta'am. And that's going to be the machlokus, whether it's Efshel Sotto or E-Efshel Sotto. But theoretically, if I would convince you that Efshel Sotto, that according to Rav Soloveitchik, it would be mutter. Why? Because it's not a cheftzad isur. It's not nefach lios isur. It always remains heter. I'll give you another nafkamina. Again, this he doesn't discuss, but I was wondering, according to Rav Soloveitchik's interpretation, if somebody would eat a kezayis worth of this basar, would he get malchus for such a thing? So you have a tipas cholov, which is, let's say let me give you the case of the vela, because basar cholov comes more complicated. But let's say you have a tipas nevela that falls on a piece of meat, and that meat is kosher meat. And we're going to apply the principle of chatif anasis nevel. Again, because we have a substance, we're not talking about bliya mekalim. What happens if somebody goes ahead and eats a kezayis of that piece of meat? That meat was shechted properly, but it's carrying a tam of nevela in it, and we're saying chatif anasis nevel. That's the sheet of satosis, and we pass like tosis chatif anasis nevel even in shari sur. Would he get malchus for eating that kezayis? The amount of nevela that was absorbed into this piece of meat is a chatzi zayis. It's not a full zayis. So if I say that heter nefach lios isur, then yeah, you should get malchus for that. But according to Rav Soloveitchik, no. We're just holding him responsible for carrying this isur into the second kedera, and therefore we need shishim against the entire piece of meat. It's halach and shishim. It's halach and bittul. How do we set up bittul? You and I would have said, well, let's set up bittul because we need is shishim against the original nevela. Nay, we need shishim against the entire piece of heter. But the heter remains heter. Interesting, no? So that's what I wanted to share with you here. All right, let's start the Gemara because this was just an introduction. So let's just see where we're up to here. We're on Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Beis. Okay, and we're up to Omar Av Nachman, Omar Shmuel. Let's see how many lines down that is. We'll count it, let's say seven. Is it six lines down from the top? Yeah? Sakin sheshachat ba, he used a knife to sheft an animal. Asur lachtov ba, roseach. So let's make a couple of comments here. Number one, the assumption here of Shmuel is that a knife that was used for shechita is bolea dam. That's assumption number one. And that has to be understood. Why is it so? Assumption number two, now that he has a sakin that has a blia of dam, he's not allowed to cut food with it. And he had that. Why? Because once he cuts that food, the blia of the dam will now be niflat and it'll go into the food. So he's got dam in the food. Point number three, when does that apply? If the food that he's cutting is roseach, it's hot. If he's cutting cold food with a trefa knife, in this case, if I could use that phrase, then that would be okay. Again, I'm not sure if Hatkilus is allowed to do that. Maybe we should discourage it because he might come to cut the food when it's hot. But the issue here of Shmuel, straightforward, is when he cuts hot food. And again, there's no issue here of milchiks and fleishiks. right? The sakin is a brand new knife. It was only used for shkita once. It doesn't have the status of milchiks or fleishiks. It's fine. So I'll just read to you his translation. He says, Dam ha-behema, when he shechs with this knife, nivla besakin. And why is that so? So he quotes Rashi, Mishum shebeis ha-shkita roseach. We have a double roseach here. We have a roseach going in and a roseach going out, if you follow me. The roseach going in means the dam is going into the sakin. Why? Because the beis ha-shkita is roseach. What does that mean? Does that mean I take a thermometer and I measure the heat level of the beis ha-shkita? I don't know. But whatever it is, it's called roseach. Number two, now that the blia of the dam went into the sakin through this roseach, because the beis ha-shkita is roseach, now when he cuts food that's also roseach, so he's got a second roseach, now the blia of the dam inside the sakin goes out into the food, and the food now absorbs the dam. However, if he cuts tzodin, then the food that he's cutting with this knife is now cold, whatever that means. Let's say it's warm, but it's not, it's cold. Then the tam of the dam that's nivla inside the sakin is not niflat into the machal, into the ochel, because the ochel is tzonen. And here the Gemara quotes a machlokas. Amri lo, some say, boy hadocha, you have to rinse it out. The amri lo, lo boy hadocha. And others say you don't have to rinse it out. Now what are we talking about? What has to be rinsed?
The food that you cut. Where you cut it. You know,
so one sheet that we'll soon see is that you have to clean off the knife. And the other sheet is that you have to clean off the machal, even though it's sewn in. And you have to rinse it out. So there are a whole bunch of issues here that have to be addressed. So let me begin by telling you that this sugya that we're learning here is really a continuation of a sugya that we never learned, which is on Daf Ches here in Masechta Chulin. And there's certain parts of the sugya on Daf Ches that we know about, and certain parts that we don't know about. So let me tell you what we do know. First of all, I want to point out the following. What do we do with this knife? You use this knife to shecht an animal. The Ramban says that since the Beis HaShechita is roseach, and therefore there's be a bli of dam into the sakin, eila takana lechalba, there's no way that you can eat any food with this knife roseach if the food is hot.
Any milchic food.
It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant because dam is neutral. If you follow what I mean.
Sorry.
Ella al yidei hagaola. So you're gonna have to take this sakin shel shchit if you want to use it to cut food, and you have to dip it into boiling hot water. O limun. Now I'm not sure why the Ramban feels compelled to add limun into the equation. I mean, maybe he's just telling me that limun is better. You know,
another way to do it.
Is another way to do it. But I don't know. Sometimes you'd see olibun, meaning as if to say the Ramban is vacillating back and forth whether hagol is sufficient. But let's assume he adds the word libun just to tell you that yesh b'chal masayim mana. If you could do hagola, how much more so if you do libun?
The one thing is, this implies that if you cut something that's cold with blood in it, then there's no problem.
No problem. Well, also go for again, meat? I wouldn't say no problem. I would think in that case you need hadacha. There are three levels here.
Right.
The lowest level on the ring is called hadacha. Just rinse it out in cold water. The next level is called hagola, which means you have to dip it into boiling hot water. And the third level, which is the pinnacle of all extra, is called limun, where you literally you burn it, you know, into the hot fire.
Can I just wash it?
I guess a question on the knife itself. So the knife, because of the roseach of the shlita, okay? So what if the behemoth turns out to be a trefa? Can I use that knife now again on another behemoth? Is there a trefa that's absorbed in the knife? I have to worry about that into the next
Oh, excellent. That's going to be another machlokus rishonim. And we're going to, and that's actually the sugya daf ches that we didn't learn.
Okay.
But we'll fill in some of the blanks as we go along. When the answer to your question, Usher, is a gigantic machlokus. Because some say that although the Beis Hashem is Roseach, it's not really Roseach. It's almost Roseach. And therefore, if you're cutting one animal and then cutting another animal, we're not going to add together the two Beis Hashchitas Roseach. You'd have to be cutting something that's mamish Roseach, you know, that's, you know, a burning hot piece of meat or whatever it might be.
We're learning this with regards to Dam, but would this apply to any Tam that we're concerned about? I mean, Basar, Chalo,
correct. Whatever. Correct. If you would take a knife and cut Nevela and it's hot, then you have a problem using this knife.
But
you're going to need to catch the knife.
Okay, so if it's cold, you just
rinse it off. Okay. Now, the chiddush of Shmuel is that he didn't take a knife and cut a hot piece of meat that was nevela, or he wants to use the knife for cheese afterwards, but he cut the Beis Hashchita. You know, you and I would have said, okay, so you have to, what has got to do with any discussion whatsoever? Then, says Shmuel, that when you shecht an animal, there's blia of dam in the sakin as a result of Roseah. That the Beis Hashchita is called Roseah. Okay. Now the Ran says the following. And everybody and their uncle is going to jump on this Ran. The Ran says that if you want to use this knife that was used for Shechita to cut food, even if it's hot food, all you need is Hadocha. Against the Ramban says you need Hagol, minimum. You want to do Libun, Tavol, or Bracha. According to the Ran, all you need is Hadocha. Why? The knife did not absorb the dam. Now, that's antithetical to everything we saw over here.
Well, it's antithetical. It's just the Shmuel. It's only Shmuel who holds that, right?
Yeah, I don't think anyone argues with Shmuel. So right now, you know, the Rishonim are talking about Shmuel. The Ran is saying that according to Shmuel, what do you do with this knife if you want to use it? You do Adoch. Why? There's no bli of dam, he says. El yesh dam al paneha. There's some sort of sprinkling of dam on the outside of the knife.
But why would, if there's sprinkling of dam on the outside of the knife, even if it's cold, you'd have to. I mean, then why would they make the distinction?
Well, I think he's saying that if you didn't do hadacha in this case and you cut hot food, that hot food becomes awesome.
But if you cut cold food,
then we would say it's mutter.
Even though it has the blood,
you have to wash it off.
Right.
That's
extreme. No, then you have to wash it off. Then you have to do hadach of the food.
But they're saying some say you don't have to. That's where it's
right. So let me give you the picture. So the first question that they ask on the Ran is that the lashon of Shmuel is asur lachtoch ba, mashma vaday sheteuna hechsher. If it says also lachtokba, it doesn't say chayv ladicha, it says also lachtokba, implying that it needs hechsher, which is agola, minimum. So they claim that according to the Ran, you have to read it somehow in one breath. Let's see how this, I'm not sure I can work this out right now, if not we'll just go on. He says that it says tsone, right? It says also lachtopa, and then it says roseach, correct? Mm-hmm. And then it says tsone, etc. He says, some say that in the case of tsone, where he cut cold food, boy hadocha. So the Ran says that when the Gemara says boy hadocha, muchach al tchilosam shegama she'osu lachtov bo roseach hu rak le'inyin she'im chotcho bo roseach lo dailo v'hadocha.
Okay, it makes sense in the Lashon of the Gemara.
Right.
Sakin she'shachov bo osu lachtov bo roseach tzonin amri by hadocha even beforehand.
So the Ran is going to say that if you cut hot food with it, then this hadacha, which you want to rinse off any, I guess, surface level of dam, is not going to be sufficient. But as far as the sakin itself is concerned, then it doesn't need agola, or all it needs is hadacha. And now he brings a whole slew of poskim, Tomu al divrei Aran, Sharei mitoch shebeis hashchita roseach. The whole underlying premise here of Shmuel is that the beis hashchita is roseach. Bolea sakim in adam. There's a blia here. Hadacha doesn't work for blia. Hadacha is good for surface level be'en, if you know what I mean. Echef shaloma shedai behadacha. How is it possible that hadacha would be sufficient? Since the beis hashchita is roseach, there's a blia of dam in the sake. Okay, that's number one. So, as I told you before, the Ran has a whole new pshat in this Gemara, and the poskim are not happy about it. Now we have point number two. Hikshu Arishonim. Ketzad, how is it possible? Osar Shmuel Lachtok Roseach B'Sakin Sheshachtu Bo. Haloli El B'Daf Chesam In Beis Nifsak B'Gemara Shemutu L'Shtamish Afilu B'Sakin Shechotach Bo Treifa. This is your case, Osher. So he used the Sakin and he cut an animal that was Treifa. He says, the Gemara's conclusion is, you're allowed to take that sakin after you shechted an animal that was treifa, and shecht shchita kshera. And the Gemara absolutely concludes that there's no need for agola. So he shechted one animal, it was treifa. Now he can shecht another animal, which is kshera. And he doesn't need any agola. That's what the Gemara says on Daf Ches. He says, Lama, why Einonu Choshishin Shema Bola Sakim Atreifa? The Dam of the Treifa was absorbed in the Sakim. V'tachzor Lavliya Bakshera. Now when he shechts the kosher animal, the Bliya now goes out into the kosher animal. So there are two answers to this question, the Ramban and the Rashba. The Ramban's answer is that the reason why the Gemara there in on Daf Ches is matir, shechting a kosher animal after you shecht a treifa, is because afal pisha sakin blua beisur ein chashash shetaflit is tama bekshera. Why? Mipnei shebishas hashchita you may recall that the halacha works with a mechanical principle that when you're busy doing pleita, you don't have time to be bolea. Right? That's called Aydi the Torah Lichlo Lo Bali. I'm not sure if you were here for that, but I don't know if I have time, maybe we're sure you could get it. Anyway. So he says the following. That when you shecht the animal is now being polling. It is gushing forth its dam. It doesn't have time, while it's involved in gushing forth its dam, to be bolea. So therefore the kosher animal remains kosher. It's not bolea, the dam from the treifa, that's in the socket. That's the Ramban.
So that knife, according to Ramban, that knife is still has a time of treifa, so you couldn't use it for something else.
Correct.
You can only use it to shecht
the... Right, shecht an animal, because that animal is busy right. Now in the process of pleita, and when you're busy with pleita, I didn't turn liflo, low bali, it doesn't absorb. Right,
but you can't use it for your steak dinner.
Right. By the way...
Once you use it for shechita, you can't do it anyhow. You can't use it for your steak dinner. You have to use the chalif.
Okay.
The shechita knife, once you use it, you can't use it for anything else.
Anything that's hot. We'll see about something that's cold.
Right. Because of that.
Now, this principle I'll just mention to you in passing, we had a great discussion about this in detail, applies to the case of chal. So what happens is you cook the chal, which is fully saturated with milk.
I assume milk, yeah.
Correct. And the question is, are you allowed to eat the chal? So the Gemara makes the following distinction. If there are other pieces of meat in the pot, those pieces of meat are asur. Why? Because the chalav is now nifla from the chal, and it's nivla into the other pieces of meat. But the chal itself is mutter. Why? Because the chal itself is busy being poleth, and aidi detarid liflo lo bali. In other words, this chal does not have the time. It's not. It's too preoccupied. It's not free to be bolea the chol. So the chol doesn't go back into the chal. It'll go into the other pieces of meat. The Gemara wants to say perhaps shalok is different. Shalok means if you leave it cooking for a long period of time. So then it finishes the process, number one, of being polay to the chalav, and then it's free to be bolay the chalav, and maybe the chal is also.
But then there's
Gemara goes back and forth about that.
Then there's opinion that it, I recall, that if the tom didn't change, so therefore, since it tasted that way before, so if the tom doesn't change, it'd still be allowed.
That I don't remember.
I was listening to it this morning. So.
Oh, okay. Now we get to the Rashba. The Rashba says the following. That the Gemara Daf Ches that allows you to cut a kosher animal after you shefted with this knife a treif animal, who mipnei sha'afal pisha sakin bola isur, ein ha isur niflat mimenu, right? The blood is not going to come out of the sakin, ella kishechotech ba dover roseach mamish, masha einken kishechotech behema cheres. Then, the Beis HaShechita Eino Roseach Mamish Elucham Ktsas. So what does this mean, that the Beis HaShechita is Eino Roseach Mamish Elucham Ktsas? It means that it's hot enough to be Bolea, the Dam, right, and that's the underlying assumption here of Shmuel, that when you sheft with a knife, it's bolei adam, because the Beis HaShechita is roseah. But it's not enough to cause a plata. Just one second. No, let me just get this straight. So now he takes the knife, and he wants to cut, he wants to sheft another animal. And then what do we say? We say that the Beis HaShechita is Roseach, and therefore the Beis HaShechita should now, so again, if you're talking about absorbing the Dam, so then the Beis HaShechita is Roseach. But now we want to get the Dam out of the Sakin into the Beis HaShechita, the second animal, which is called Plata. So even though Beis HaShechita is like Roseach, it's only like Roseach to be Bolea. But it's not Roseach enough to extract the Tam Bolua from the Sakin. In other words, if I cut something that's absolutely hot, the substance, a piece of cheese, or whatever it might be, so that's Roseach Mamash. So the piece of cheese now, because of its heat, will draw the blood out of the socket. That's called lahaflit. Lahaflit means, right, in the cause of it, to cause the socket to be pulled.
Okay. Right.
But the Beis HaShechita doesn't have that level, according to the Rashba, that level of roseach mamish, that it could cause a to be maflit the dam that's bolua in the socket. It's enough. It's enough for blia, but it's not enough for haflit.
So needs, so we're saying is there's a different temperature, there's more heat's needed for a haflit than blia. And there's a higher temperature is needed.
In other words, when we talk about using a sakin of shechita without a goal, right? For slicing a hot piece of food, that halachically is called roseach mamash. Again, I'm not using a thermometer right now, because I think that's going to just confuse us.
Let's there is a difference, but there clearly is a difference
in the different type of,
but I think we should,
a different type of heat.
I just want to get the, you know, I just want to get the, you know, get the abstract principle.
But I guess the abstract principle, at least seems to me, is saying that there's a different level of heat. There's a different...
That's for sure.
That's, you know, in other words, it takes less for Balea than it does for Hakka.
So let me read it to you once more, because I see it's getting late. And he says the following. That over there, the reason for the heter is because when he shechts the second animal, ein ha'isa, which means the dam, niflat mimenu. But only kishechote padovro sech mamish, then the dam is niflat mimenu. Kishechote behema cheres, the Beis HaShlita is not Rosef Mamish, and therefore it's not Maflit. So it's interesting. There's a difference in direction over here. If you're talking about the Resichus of the Beis HaShlita to facilitate the Sakin being Bolea, then the answer is yes. It passes the, you know, the litmus test of Rosef. It's Mi Rosef and up. But if you're talking about the kind of Rosef that you need to be maflit, meaning to dig into the hisakin, into the walls of the knife, and bring out its blia, for that you need Rosef mamash. So let's just go over. According to the Ramban, the answer is that the Gemara is matir because...
I need to pull it.
Because what?
I did the pullet.
Because if I need to pull it, because since the Beis HaShlita, the second animal, is busy spurting forth its blood, it doesn't have the ability to be Bolea. And now what we're saying is that the Beis HaShlita, according to the Rashba, of the second animal, is not hot enough to cause the Blia inside the Sakin to be Nifl.
Or will be the Nafkamina between the two Shitas.
He doesn't have enough gemina. I mean, I'm a little bit under the gun now, okay. So if let's think about that. You have a pencil here?
Yeah.
Oh, great. So I'll just make a note where we got up to, because I never remember where we got up to. Okay. All right, then, so I'll wish you all a good Shabbos. I'll get my stuff out of the fridge.
Okay.
And...
that is safe.
I don't know, but that was here, I think.